like that. Yeah, neither, right? Okay, if you can find your seats, bring it to a dull roar or quieter. We'll get started for the afternoon. I feel like we've been going about that fast this week. Phew, here we are. One of the first things I want to talk to you about is there's the new Salvation by Grace. This is a first in the series of the Mr. O books from yesteryear that are being brought back. And you'll actually get one of them on your way out today, so you'll have a copy of this one. And this is what the Bible test that's required, the one-year Bible requirement, it says formal Bible training, is required for every full-time CEF worker. That's still in place. That's not changing. That will always exist. There are times when career changers, life experience has been as effective as a year of Bible, and they're career changers. They had no reason to do a year of Bible in yesteryear of their life, all of those things. So there are occasions when it is right that they wouldn't have to take a year of Bible and they could test out. There has been a test in place for as long as I know about that's it's a test for an entry level, like Old Testament survey kind of class. So we're going to a different format for testing out. It will be a study of this particular book. They'll read a chapter, do questions, read a chapter, do questions, read a chapter, do questions. And it's more foundational biblical doctrines that we know where you're at in your faith. It's not Bible knowledge. It's practical doctrinal beliefs that you would have and how you would teach what you believe, those kinds of things. So it's far more practical. And it's not just a 45-minute pass this or you can't be in CEF. It's more of a where are you at, all of those things. So it's really a good change. We're excited about it. The test is just about done, and it'll be a very, very good change. So that we have to look forward to. The book that we introduced last year called The Better Life, A Better Life. It is The Better Life, though, as we well know. This is the book that talks, it's for immigrants. It's English from the front. A very good through-the-Bible gospel presentation, Genesis to Revelation, and God is preeminent in all of Scripture, that kind of teaching. And if you recall, then it's Arabic from the back, so that it is for the Muslim immigrants, those who are coming into the country. And this was a service item. There was sort of a security issue or some such a thing that we've realized isn't what we thought it would be or isn't anymore. So now this is open. The public can buy it. That it is available to order on the web store. You don't have to have it as a service item and be staffed to get it. So this is a book that we really want to help people get their hands on. And I can't tell you the state or the location, but just recently someone ordered 200 of these for an event where they were Michigan is having an event where they're having actually a translator come in Arabic and translate the Good News Club into Arabic. So this is a great resource to give those families because they'll get it from the back. This is now available to the public. You can order it and have it on hand for use like that. The pricing is very nominal. It's very affordable to be used for your ministry. And so you can promote it, encourage it, if you know people who need it, that kind of thing. And as we well know, there's mosques going up everywhere. That's unfortunate for some reasons, but it's fortunate because it shows us where those nucleus of people are, that we know where to go reach them at. So it's a good thing to find them and to help bridge that and build that relationship that we can help them know the truth of God's word. We're privileged this afternoon to have a presentation from Calvary Bible College. This is the college that we have a relationship with through CMI. And this gentleman comes and speaks to our students and tells them what their college options are and how we cooperate. So he's going to tell you the same thing that our CMI students know.
And I'll make it really brief, too. I'll spend a little bit more time with them. But Calvary University, formerly Calvary Bible College and Theological Seminary, has been around 85 years. We are a Bible school, so every student that earns a degree at Calvary has Bible and whatever their major discipline is. And so we're accredited by the Department of Education and the Higher Learning Commission, as well as a Bible accrediting agency, ABHE. All of our student programs prepare men and women for a life of service in the world and in the church. We have over 50 degree programs. I have a packet that will be distributed to each state later on that lists all the different degree programs that we have available. We do have a reciprocal agreement with Child Evangelism Fellowship because we are a ministry partner. In our chapel, it says Child Evangelism Fellowship on the wall. And we take our partnership with you very seriously. CMI graduates can receive 19 hours towards a bachelor's degree, 13 hours towards an associate degree. And that's what I'll be talking to the CMI students about. I understand your requirements about working full-time and having that Bible background. And I know that there are different options that are available, but we're very stable. Like I said, we've been around for 85 years. This particular year, we've experienced 27% growth, which is just outstanding for a higher learning education establishment. Unfortunately, a lot of the other traditional Bible teaching universities are having problems. But one of the reasons why we do so well is because we have a reputation. In fact, we've been recognized nationally as being a leader in lowest amount of student debt upon graduation. That's among all private institutions. And additionally, we were recognized recently in USA Today as number 6 for the lowest cost, best value among colleges and universities that are private. So I will be around for the CMI students. I've got a display in the CMI stand. I'm glad to answer any questions. I hope that the packets that I provided can answer a number of your questions. But I'll be around tonight, even during dinner time, and feel free to grab me and ask me any questions you have. Thanks for allowing me a couple minutes to speak to you.
He does have a name. It's Skip, so if you see him in the hallway, you can catch him by his name and not just, hey, you from Calvary. Okay. Sherry.
Hello, this is Robert J. Morgan. When I was a child, I attended a Bible club in my elementary school that laid a spiritual foundation for my life and has, after all of these years, led to my new book, Reclaiming the Lost Art of Biblical Meditation. With all my heart, I believe that nothing is more important than reaching boys and girls for Christ and teaching them to memorize and meditate on Scripture. That's what Child Evangelism Fellowship has been doing around the clock for the last 8 decades. It is impossible to calculate the millions of people in heaven right now, or who will be, because for the last 80 years, the undiluted gospel message has been taught and proclaimed and transmitted and diffused around the world by Child Evangelism Fellowship and its thousands of faithful servants. This work has changed our planet. This work has changed heaven. It has populated eternity. This work has saved and salvaged the lives of more boys and girls and men and women than we can imagine. What a ministry that will not be intimidated, that will not retreat, and that is willing to go wherever Christ goes, which is to the ends of the earth. Happy birthday, CEF.
I love that. It's an encouragement to me that a ministry that won't back down and goes where the Lord leads us. And my name is Sherry Ferris, and I'm the local director for Central Indiana Chapter, which is basically Greater Indianapolis. A little snapshot of our chapter is we have 5 counties. We have 243 elementary schools in our chapter. And last year, we were in 33 of those schools. The story I'm going to share with you started about 4 years ago. We had a new church partner that wanted to start a good news club and a new school district for us. Unfortunately, the school was not interested in any shape or form of having that club in their school district. Through a series of events, God opened the door. We started the club, but with a lot of discrimination. We were the only club out of all the clubs they had at the school that was being charged rental fee. And they did not let us pass out registration forms. They wouldn't even let us put them in the school office where the other clubs had their forms. So needless to say, the club was very small because it basically was from some of the children from the partnering church. And I had a donor that gave us the rental fees for that one semester. He understood the situation, and he said, get it figured out. And so after that semester, I decided we would stop, and we would try to get equal access. So I contacted Liberty Counsel, and for 2 years, they worked with a school lawyer trying to get them to comply with the law. Unfortunately, they would not, and so this spring, we filed an official complaint, and we would have our day in court, but it takes a long time. And so, in the meantime, Liberty Counsel filed an injunction hearing, which basically means it's an initial hearing. If you win that, you get no discrimination until your final hearing. And so, part of that process, the lawyers depose people. And so, we sat for hours listening to people being on the hot seat on the other side, being deposed by our counsel. And then I had my opportunity to be in the hot seat. And I'll be honest, I was nervous as I went that morning into downtown Indianapolis at a very large lawyer firm because we were in the opposing counsel's office. And I remember just going into the restroom and talking to the Lord. And he just gently whispered to me, you are not alone, and I am your helper. And it's such a blessing to have your lawyer pray with you before you go in there. And literally for hours, I was asked questions, having no idea what they were going to ask me. And one of the questions I was asked is, what is the good news? So here I am, under oath, having the opportunity to tell the Catholic lawyer what the good news was. Praise the Lord. He even asked me, what is evangelical? And as I shared that, he stopped and he said, you know, I don't think my church is evangelical. So I'm praying that some seeds were planted that day with him. So we had our day in court in August, and about a week and a half after that, we found out that we had won the injunction hearing, praise the Lord. And so they have a picture of actually it hit the front page news of the Indianapolis Star. And so the club is going to restart. The start day is October 30th. The registration forms went home with every child last week. So please pray that there'll just be a tremendous response. You could pray for the workers. The team's still excited. It's the same team, a few more people that did it 2 years ago. So they have not given up hope. And after this, someone had given us some money, and so I felt the Lord prompted me. The next picture shows I went and bought some school supplies and put it in a gift basket, and I took it to the principal with a little note just saying we're really excited to be back in the school and starting the club. And so you might be thinking, okay, you were in 33 schools, you have 243 schools. Why did you do this? Why didn't you just move on and go somewhere else? You have 201 other schools that you could have had, you know, tried to have club in. But you know what? God has given us a tremendous opportunity to be in every public school. And you know what? We might not always have that opportunity, but we do today. And we need to stand up for the rights that God has given us. And there are boys and girls and moms and dads in that school district that need to hear about the Savior. And so that's why we're doing it. So I just want to encourage you that, you know, maybe there's something that God is challenging you to stand up for, whether it be in your ministry or maybe even in your personal life. Will you be faithful to do what God is calling you to do, even though it might be hard? And so I want to just end with this verse. It's found in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
It's really cool to be able to stand up here and share some things with you. As many of you know, my life shifted gear a lot about a year and a half ago. And, you know, and I've always had a lot of respect for the state directors prior to becoming a state director. I want you to know I have a lot more respect for you now after being a state director. So it's just a privilege to be up here and just share a little bit about what God's done in Montana since I've been there. Just to give you a little insight into the state, my first statement that I want to make to you is that when I moved to Montana, our staff doubled. So I'm going to acknowledge some things later, but I want to give you that's an idea of where I'm coming into and need to work with. But I want to start off with a couple statistics that will make you all really, really, really jealous. Right, Todd? Okay. First of all, like I said, our staff doubled. It's actually quadrupled now since I've been there, okay? So how many of you would like to quadruple your staff in a year and a half? Okay, just checking with you on that one. All right, and then I've had a 395% increase in children reached this last year. 395%. I've had a 428% increase in number of five-day clubs that we had this last year. Anybody like to have those numbers? Now, I understand there's some things that go along with this, but I'm just saying, you know, these are pretty cool things to think about. And so I look at that and I go, you know, how can I share with you what's taken place and how that's happened? When I first got there, I took a fair amount of time and just prayed and asked God to give me some direction. I evaluated a lot of things that were going on, looked at the one local chapter that I have and what's going on there. And I began to ask God, I want to, based on being around headquarters for a long time and listening to a lot of you, I said, I want to have a state that has a strong foundation so that growth can take place. I want to have a strong foundation that not only can growth take place, but it can sustain it for years and years to come so that when, you know, I get older, it's going to continue on. And so I begin to ask the Lord, what does that look like? And I won't go into a lot of detail, but he gave me a 6-point, basically, strategic plan that put in place. But the highlight or the big part, what I believe God gave me was, is that, Dave, you got to center it completely around the church. You got to go through church partnerships because I can only do so much. I could go out and be really, really active and get a few things going and I could maybe maintain those throughout the years. But with the churches, there's hundreds and hundreds of churches in Montana. And if I can work with those churches, now I can have a foundation throughout the whole state to work with. And so I began to look at some things because I started saying, Lord, I want to know this for sure. Well, you know, having been a pastor for 11 years, I started to realize that Scripture clearly teaches that ministry needs to go through the local church. Whether you're an individual or whether you're an organization, whatever it is, God set up the local church as his place to do ministry. And then I got really brave and I looked at our CEF's purpose statement. We evangelize boys and girls. We disciple them in the word of God and we do what? So which one of those three things are less important? The only way that I know to really establish them in a local church is to have a local church take ownership of the ministry that we're helping to equip them with. So I began to look at that, and then I started looking at how do I approach these churches so that they're looking at it as a perspective of they're not helping me do ministry, but I'm literally being a tool to help them. And so as I began to talk about and think about this, think this through, I started to... I need to help this pastor or this church see that they're taking ownership of this ministry. That it's not just, okay, we're going to help you out with a little bit here and there. No, pastor, you're going to take ownership of this ministry, and CEF is going to be a tool to help you be able to do that, and we're going to make a strong commitment to you. This is what we're going to do to help you. But pastor, on the other side of that, to show me that you're taking ownership of this ministry, here's some things that you need to do. And then I have him sign an agreement afterwards. It's not a contract. It's just an agreement of understanding that if you're going to enter into this partnership, because I want to help you, this is not about me growing. This is about me helping you reach into the community, helping reach those unchurched children, those unchurched families. I really want you to take ownership of this, and that means that you've got to have some involvement with it. And so I lay out some things about certain volunteers they got to have and some details of this. And... they've responded really well to this because I've seen them smile when I start telling them that it's not about me. It's about, I believe ministry needs to go through the local church. And the pastor smiles. I agree with you. Then when I get into what I focus on with these churches to start with is I want to get my foot in the door. And so I focus simply on five-day clubs and CYA, and I presented them as a package to start with. And this is what our our five-day club looks like. It's a high-octane VBS, and I go through this presentation. I said, our rally, this is where, Pastor, the rally on Friday night that we do, after we do our little program to help get the parents there and you have some food, Pastor, when that program's over, they're all yours because I want to have a home here. And so I make it, I guess I get very serious. Todd and I have had discussions about this. It's like I don't really give the church options about what their part is and what them taking the children on afterwards. It's not, I don't want that. I'm trying to set up a structure where they're being ministered to and we're being used as a ministry for that church to reach and grow. And then I tell them about the wonderful idea that the team, this highly trained team that we bring in to help them do ministry, is made up of teenagers. And what I love about this is that I say, Pastor, this is exactly how I say it, Pastor, when your church has five-day clubs with us, guess who's going to be leading those teams back to your church if you have teenagers that go to our CYA program? It's going to be those teenagers. And then, Pastor, after the summer's over, you're going to have people trained in your church to do children's ministry work. Now, Pastor, tell me, is your church the only one that doesn't have enough children's ministry workers? You know, and they do that, and they you see them smile. It's like, oh, wow. In other words, with working with you and help and you helping us, you're going to impact, help us reach into the community. You're going to impact our teenagers, and we're going to have more children's workers when we're all done. Where do I sign up? I mean, that's the attitude that I've had. The only thing that I've really not had churches do to sign up for this was probably the timing's not right at this moment, but come see me next year or come see me later on this year, that type of thing. And once again, I don't think it's anything the great that I do, but I know I've had about a 60 to 70% success rate with this, just talking with pastors, getting out there and do this. And that's been my approach. Then what was really cool about it, after this summer, we actually had some churches start asking us, what else do you do? Because they've seen what we do as a ministry. And so I'm going to give you some statistics to close with because my time's running down here. But so in 2016, my first summer there, we had one church partnership. We had 11 five-day clubs, and we reached 165 kids. This past summer, after focusing simply on church partnerships, we partnered with 24 churches this summer. 47 five-day clubs, reaching almost 700 kids. And I've met several of these pastors and talked to them again since the summer, and they're super excited about next year. They're already planning on how to use us in their ministry to reach out to their community. I've also had 6 churches contact us about doing Good News Clubs since then that I didn't promote. And so I'm in the process now of trying to work out and get Good News Clubs started in 6 different areas around my state. Sherry is really encouraging to hear what you said because I just had a school district tell me no. And it'll be interesting to see how that all turns out in the process. So I guess I want to acknowledge that I understand this is a pioneering state, so this is different than some of your states and so on. So I understand that there's a wide open opportunity that I have in Montana that many of you don't have. And God is clearly, I can't even begin to tell you all the stories that God has done for me since I've been there and how I just feel like I'm connecting the dots. But there is one thing that I do know that is true about God's word, is God doesn't change. And folks, his way of ministry is through church partnerships. It's through, the ministry needs to go through the local church. And because I'm doing it that way, I believe I'm setting up a ministry that will not only grow this year, but will sustain growth and continue to grow completely while I'm there and beyond me. And so I would like to encourage you to remember God doesn't change. He set it up for ministry to go through the local church. Be that right arm to the local church. Be that help to the local church. And sincerely mean that. Come in and just really want to help them and come across that way and be that way. And pastors will definitely appreciate you and thank you when it's all said and done.
Amen. What an encouraging 2 testimonies. Boy, is God at work? Hey, God is at work. I'm just telling you. He doesn't love Sherry and Dave better than he loves you, right? We used to have some friends that, well, we still have them, I think, in Georgia, that would say whenever great things would happen to them and their families that God loves us best. But God loves all of us, and he's wanting us to trust him. It is just goes without saying that we need to put God to the test. He tells us to do that. So this whole session is about ministry health. And Dave, you stole about three of my points. Sherry, you stole another one. So there goes four of your points today. But we're going to hit them again. It's a well-known fact that some people don't like to go to the doctor. You got somebody sitting beside you that doesn't like to go to the doctor? Either because they're afraid to do so or they don't want to know what their health is really like. Imagine if your car's check engine light comes on and you continue to ignore it. How many of you has that happened to? So what do you do? Do you, you know, it begins to flash. Do you like speed up? Or do you, you know, pull over the side of the road? Do you go to the garage? What do? That's where you need help. Buckle up, rev your engines, let's talk about your ministry health. That was a great segue, both of those testimonies, to what we're going to be talking about. It goes without saying that we have to be healthy before we can grow. We do. You guys probably looked at me this morning and thought, okay, he's the most angry person I've ever seen, but for 22 years I've had migraines. And when I take medicine, my eyebrows go up like VeggieTales. Angry eyebrows, you ever heard that? And so yesterday I left here and I was like, Lord, please just take this thing away. And if you've ever dealt with that, you know it can go from 0 to 85 in like 2 seconds. And so that's my story. You know, you have your own story. Your family has their own story. But you can't ignore that stuff. You know, you have to get to the bottom of it. Because sicknesses that aren't recognized and addressed become full-blown diseases. You just have to deal with it. We live in a broken world. And I think our biggest issue is that we try to, because we're so busy, ignore the small squeaks. But they get so loud that we have to take action. You know what those squeaks are in your own ministry. You know what those things are that are just that behind the scenes thing that just keeps rearing its head. You ever been to a county fair and you play a whack-a-mole game? You ever done that? I love that game. Because it gets out your frustrations, right? That's one thing. But the other thing is you can't keep up. It starts to get so fast, you cannot keep up whacking those moles down. Do you ever picture the faces of your staff on those moles that you're whacking with them? I mean, you know, you put this one to rest and three more pop up, and then you have two hammers going, just like you're playing a xylophone or something. Ministry health, what does that look like? What does it look like to be healthy? More ministry health is better than less ministry health. You have to work toward health. Wherever you are on that spectrum, ministry health may not be easily or readily recognized. Sometimes the problems, the real problems, are masked by the symptoms. You, as the pastor, the shepherd, the director, leader of your state and your people, have to get to the root of the problem. You're the doctor. How do you know the root of the problem? You stay on your knees. Lord, help me to diagnose this thing according to what you show me. Help me to get to the bottom of it so we can just nip it in the bud, as Barney Fife used to say on Andy Griffith. Nip it in the bud, nip it in the bud. We have to get to the root of it. Otherwise, we're dealing with symptoms all the time. So what does that look like? Everything naturally deteriorates. This ministry is going to naturally deteriorate. Your health and my health will naturally deteriorate. Churches naturally deteriorate. It's the sign of the fall. Have you thought about the fact that if we had not all chosen to fall along with Adam, that things would not naturally deteriorate? I mean, one second before looking at the fruit and desiring it, and that's what the enemy always does, he uses our eyes, the gate of our eyes, to make something look pleasurable, to make something look enticing, and that's the direction we go. But 1 second, it was nothing, then there was that, and then their eyes were opened to see good and evil. It's in that fallen state that you and I lead. And so the ministry health is going to naturally deteriorate. You, again, just like Nehemiah, have to be the protector of the gates of the ministry. You cannot let those forces in that are going to take it down. You cannot let those forces in that are going to discourage people. You can't do that because you're the doctor. God has put you in that place to do that. And when you do that, you'll begin to see people look at you as a solution rather than the problem. Work toward health and growth follows. Don't work toward growth. That's the wrong goal. Don't work toward growth. You work toward health. How many of you have actually pastored a church in here? Okay? 5 or 6 of you? Listen, if your church is not healthy, are you going to grow? If you don't address those things in your body, is your church going to grow? The answer is absolutely every time, 100% no. It's not. Because people that come into it will know the unhealth in the church. The same thing applies to your ministry. Where God has put you as a state or district director, same thing applies. People from the outside can see the sickness, and sometimes we can't even see it. So everything needs to work toward health because growth is going to follow. And here's the scary thing. Your ministry will eventually look like you. It'll have your mark on it. Now, it should have God's mark on it. That's a given, okay? If you're following the Lord, it will have God's mark, but it'll have your mark on it. Have you been to some things and they were done with excellence? They were done with just an overwhelming sense of joy and been part of those things? That was somebody's mark. They set that excellence into motion. Your ministry in your state is going to look like you. Is that a good thing? Is that a healthy thing? How healthy are you personally? You know, that's one thing I thank the Lord for since he left today, that God directed Richard Blackaby in such a way to talk about the health side, the spiritual side of the leadership that we provide for the field. And that's exactly what it is. I want to back up on number 4. This is one unhealthy thing that we do as CEF staff. I won't say all of us, but if you're doing this, you need to stop it right away. The church is not here to help you. They're not here to help you. We're here to help them. They're not here so that we can get in every school. We're not using them to put clubs in all these schools. They're not here to support us financially. That's going to come if this part takes place. We're here to fulfill the second and the third leg of the mission stool. Discipling, Jesus said, to make disciples, not converts, and to connect them to church, just like Dave shared earlier. If you have pockets of ministry in your state where people are still stuck on, I'm a missionary for CEF and I reach kids, and the church is ignored in those areas, you need to shift. You need to move that gear to the next highest gear. We're not missionaries because we're part of CEF. We're missionaries because we're believers. Every single volunteer that comes into your leadership, comes under your leadership, is a missionary. Not because they wear a CEF name badge. That's unhealthy, to go the direction that they're here to help us. No, we're here to help them. You know, if we had a society, and there are some societies like this, that birth babies and they leave them on the sidewalk, what kind of society would we have? But what difference is it? If we get kids saved and never take them to the next step, never connect them with people, never let them do life together, the second step is to disciple them. We have to spend time with them. That's why in Georgia we said, you know, there are four things that every Good News Club has to have. Has to have the Bible lesson, has to have the memory verse, has to have the small group time, I want to come back to that, and a time for counseling. The small group time is absolutely where they're going to connect with their first discipler. It's not going to be the person standing at the front of the room. It's going to be that person who's standing with them in a circle, sitting on the floor in a circle and discipling them, getting to know them, establishing a relationship with them. That's their first discipler. Make everything else fall around that small group time. We have to raise the babies that we birth. I know some of you know Dr. Laura. She was on the radio for years and years. And she would always say, don't have babies if you can't raise them. Don't have them if you can't raise them. It's not a stat that goes on a piece of paper. I was in the hyper-evangelism movement in the middle 80s in the church world. You pastors know what I'm talking about. There would be conferences about, here's the latest book. Here's how you grow your church. Here's how you advertise the numbers. Am I right? That is not godly. We're not here to birth babies. We're here to make disciples. Our founder used to say, disciple to evangelize, evangelize to disciple. At every point in talking with a child, look for and expect the Holy Spirit to talk with that child. That's what discipleship is. Doesn't matter if they're 5 years old. They understand connection. And they know within 5 seconds if your volunteers and mine want to be there or not. They're a great judge of character. That connection has to come through your church. Cross Point Church, Mill Creek location started a club 2 years ago. The pastor was very hesitant to get on board. And after much coaxing and some God interventions and some God opportunities, he was faced with the decision to start a Good News Club. He had 14 people on the team, and their first Good News Club day, they had 119 children. That was more than his church. That was more than his church. What had he just done? He had opened the door for a church plant. That's a church plant. What's the difference if they're this tall or this tall? It's a church plant. You need to start promoting Good News Clubs as a way to launch church plants. We even had conversations with this pastor about setting up in the same Good News Club classroom a church on the weekends for their parents to come to. Unfortunately, because there was a lot of overwhelming feelings that pervaded the volunteers that were there, they felt totally unequipped to do that. And this year, they're not having a club. It overwhelmed them. So we have to prepare people for that. Let's start a church in every single Good News Club for the parents. The church growth movement is part of that. Pastors need our help. They do. It's a lonely thing to be a pastor. And you know what I'm talking about. There are many nights, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Mondays, that pastors quit right up here. And right here sometimes, because it's an overwhelming thing to be responsible for the spiritual growth and health of your people. They need your help. They need my help. Pastors need to be prayed for. They need to be encouraged. They need to be partnered with, like Dave was talking about. They're not here for us. We're here for them. Your ministry will eventually look like you, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. You have to decide on your own. Top five questions. Are you intentional and persistent about getting your ministry healthy? Write yes or no beside your question on that, on your page. Are you intentional, or will you become intentional about that? If anything comes in your path that doesn't look like health, nope, not today. If a person comes into your office and says, what if we do this? Not today, it's not going to happen. Why? This is a good thing. Well, because it's a good thing, but it's not the best thing. God's given us the path. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Listen, the enemy can use good things just like we can use good things. But if they're not the best things, they're distractions. And they take us off the path that we should be going. Do you have regular ministry health checkups? I mean, I'm assuming you take your car to the garage. Do you have ministry checkups? Do you sit down with your staff and say, okay, we need to talk. What do you think about this over here? How is that going? How are you doing over here? Do you need more help? How can we pray for you? You're talking like you're talking to your own children. That's your family. That's your ministry family. Do you allow some problems to continue to be problems? Again, this is hard stuff. I grew up in tobacco country. Bob, did you grow up in tobacco country? In North Carolina, everybody smoked. My pastor even smoked. Can you imagine this? I'm sure some of you just had a stroke, right? But if you would drive up into most church parking lots in North Carolina, especially back in the day, you'd see a circle of men and women out front, and they'd be smoking. But guess what that does? It deteriorates the health of our bodies, right? So a lot of my family have died from cancer because of that. Do you allow those things to continue when you know that there are issues and there are obvious issues? Do you allow them to continue and become full-blown diseases? What are you doing to intentionally improve the health of your ministry? What are you doing about that? Are you going through a book with your people to address certain things? Maybe it's a spirit of negativity. Can we be full of faith and negative at the same time? That's impossible. Maybe it's a book you need to go through with your staff about fear. Can you have fear and faith at the same time? It's an impossibility. Now, all of us have some degree of it, but allowing it to continue and change the direction that we're going can't be. What are you doing to intentionally improve the health of your ministry? And is your ministry healthier today than it was 6 months ago? What about a year ago or 5 years ago? Where are you on that? I'm not talking about numbers. I haven't said numbers at all. I'm talking about the health. I'm talking about the growth of your leaders. I'm talking about you developing leaders. Are they healthier today than they were before? Look at the grid that you have in front of you. We really define these things this way. Let's start at the reverse side. I mean, I love to see things resurrected, don't you? The reverse of all of this is dying. You know what that means in ministry terms? You're irrelevant. You're irrelevant. Nobody cares what you do. That's dying. It's not that you have fewer numbers than you did last year. It's the fact that the masses of people don't care what product you have. And our product is Jesus. That's dying. Listen, if you go to a doctor and he pulls out a 1929 stethoscope, would you let him operate on you? Or maybe a hypodermic needle that started out this size and he wants to give you a shot. Would you let him stick you with that needle? That's what we continue to do sometime when we don't change our ministry habits and we don't become relevant to the people who are looking for our leadership. Our ministry can feel old. It can feel like it was from 1950. It can feel, that's not America today. You can take the things that America did in 1950 and go to some countries now. That's way light years ahead of where they are now. Not here. Our culture is completely different. We have to be relevant. The next thing is anemic. It's sick. You can't get healthy because there's not enough iron to build you up. The next one is atrophic. No direction at all. There's atrophy setting in. You begin to lose your ministry muscle. You don't know how to move. First gear, you're organizing. Dave talked about being a pioneer state. Listen, over half of America's counties have no CEF ministry. We are a pioneering nation in that definition. Less than half our nation has ministry. We should be organized. We should be praying, figuring out what health looks like. Second gear is able. All of our bases are covered for basic ministry. We have a head, which is you. We have the body parts that are the training teams, the systems, all of the things we've talked about, and we have the ministry beginning to happen. Third gear, you're starting to grow. Fourth gear, you're vigorous, and we put overdrive as Rocky. I love those movies, don't you? Because what starts out as an anemic person becomes this very strong champion. But God, in the mix of all that, is helping us to see how to get from one gear to the next. So we're going to take a few minutes, talk about what that looks like. Answer the question, do we look irrelevant to the average pastor that we talk to? You got to answer that question. Don't give them materials that have 2003 on them. I know some of you guys deal with that because we get letters and emails about it. Well, some of my local chapters just don't want to use the new stuff. Well, you got to figure out what the real doctor says you should do about that. You know what that says to a pastor when you give them something that says 2003? You're irrelevant. It may not be in other countries. It is here. Don't let things continue to make you look a certain way if you can change it. So answer those questions. Meet in small groups for a few minutes, and we'll come back and make some comments at the end. Testing, 1, 2. Testing, testing, testing. 1, 2, 1, 2. Hello? Okay, what are you coming up with? What are you coming up with? Let's start at first gear again. Somebody tell me, how do you get to second gear? Is that where you started, or did you start at the back? What do you think? How do you move people into the next place of health? Anybody? All right, let's go second gear. Third gear? Do I hear fourth gear? Fourth gear? Okay. Who's got fourth gear? Promoting as a package, like Dave's talking about. Absolutely. This was probably premature that, 2 years ago, I think we first mentioned it at state leadership. In Georgia, we put together a whole package. I mean, their pastor packet has the items listed in the partnership for the pastor to agree and sign a form that they're officially becoming a partner. It's curriculum. It's background checks. And in Georgia, it was $15 a head because our state was one of those 7 that did not report federally. So that was an additional $10 on top of the one that everybody else has. So it was literature, background checks, the training, all of the follow-up things, and the support that goes along with the actual club, and we charge $2,400. Churches that have to make decisions for programming pay a lot more than that for a VBS or a school curriculum or a church curriculum for the entire year. VBS is separate from that. The reason we did that was we thought, okay, $1,200 is really, that's where we break even. Because of everything we threw into it. We threw in a tablecloth. We threw in what a table looks like at an open house. We taught our people how to set up a table like that. From the very beginning, if you start, we showed them how to do it. But then the other $1,200 was $100 a month for the church to really support the local chapter. That's where the sustaining fund comes from. And so when the coastal chapter opened, this was the first chapter that opened under that partnership agreement, we had 11 churches that had already signed the statement. And so that was how much money added up in your head. And you're able to start with some money instead of starting what had been the historical way to start with nothing. You have nothing. You just don't even know where to start. So it's up to you how you and your state board really look at this thing. But churches are used to promo packages. They want something in a box, a turnkey program. That's what we need to become. That's how we did it. But packaging it is really huge. Anybody else on fourth gear or even back beyond that? Anybody right here? Right. That's right. There are different ways. Every state is different with this. Nobody from here is going to dictate those type of things. You have to do it according to your own culture in your state. But if you can figure out a way to get into the hopper of what correspondence and promotional items a church gets on a regular basis, you're halfway there. Because this is an easy sell. I would tell you this. This is strategy number one for next year. This could double U.S. ministry in 1 year. Go back to your homes and challenge every single club coordinator to invite one pastor this year, just one pastor, to come to a Good News Club and watch it. You know what God does to a pastor when he's sitting in a public school classroom and the gospel's being taught, kids are coming to Christ, they're being counseled, they're singing worship songs. God says to him, you need to do this. God's not going to let that pastor rest seeing that take place and then you ask him and he says no, that's not going to happen. It could double your ministry and U.S. ministry in 1 year. Call up the churches around the schools where there are good clubs. Now, you don't want them to go to clubs that are chaotic. I mean, obviously, you don't want that. You want it to be a good experience for them. So they go back to their church, and they can't sleep until they get up in their pulpits and say, we're going to do that. We're going to adopt this school down the street. Because that's what's going to happen. Take that grid home. Take that grid to your staff. You and your staff sit down together. And then you go before the state board and say, listen, this is what we've been working on. We want some perspective. We want some insight from you. But I'll tell you, the average state board knows 10 to 12% of what happens every day. You have to educate them on what really happens. Don't let them be the cold water committee because of their ignorance of what really happens. And they're making decisions based on the information they have. So give them the information. Tell them, listen, our staff has gotten together. We have this strategy. This is how we're going to move to more health, to whatever. Take every single grid and do that. And then you'll see what God can do in a big, big way. Have these things helped you to try to figure out where you are? Has it been a diagnostic for you? Has it encouraged you that, listen, you're not on your own. There are people here in worse shape than you are. You know, it always gave me great joy to see people that couldn't run a 7-minute mile because I was running a 14-minute mile. You know, that encouraged me. But the fact is, you and I have been given a huge, huge responsibility. And that responsibility is to see the nation turn. You're not going to do that as an individual missionary. Somebody yesterday said, you know, I was looking at these gears, and God spoke to me about them. It's the little gears that turn the big gears. And all the gears have to be connected. It takes a series of gears to get things moving. That's the way it is in ministry. We all have to work together and pull together to head the right direction. We've got some things we'd like to give you right now. And we're going to have our district director meetings or district meetings next. So you'll go to your district meetings. In your district meetings, do this. Take the grids that you've gotten today and talk about those things. And take the evaluation. We want to know what your needs are. We have states that are literally just on the map. That's what they are. They have an entity with the IRS. That's it. And we have states, especially states with some local chapters, that are just blowing and going. I mean, they're in overdrive. They're telling us what we need to do next. So trying to figure out where that middle is that hits everybody, that's our challenge in the USA hallway. We want to hear from you. We're going to be sending out our own surveys so that you can speak into what we do even for next year. And look forward to the last session, our closing session. God would just challenge us in a big, big way. Karen, you can come on and make your announcements.
You've heard of progressive dinners. We have progressive handouts. The first one you got was the Mr. O book, the first one that we'll do the Bible test from. The other two that you just got are the Victorious Life. That's one we all had in CMI. It's taught during IOT, I think. And then Everything by Prayer, that's been around for a long time, but now they're all back in the same format and the same size, so they would make great donor gifts. There's lots of things you can do with these. They're very affordable through CEF Press, so you can have access to those for the variety of things that you'd want to do with them. Everything by Prayer is an easy read, but you have to read it with a pace and an intentionality, because there's really, I mean, the reminders that always come back when you read a book like that is very good. As Ron said, we're headed into district director meetings. You go to the same place that you went on What was the first day? Tuesday? The only exception is, Benny, your location is changed to the TCC open area. The large conference room is occupied, so you go back to the TCC. Otherwise, everybody goes to the same place they were at the other day. Those are to be done at 3:45, and then you have a break till 4:15. Be back in here at 4:15 for the last session. Be working on your evaluations. How many of you will be leaving before dinner? Okay, very good. And then there was one more. Oh, work on your evaluations, I said that. Oh, in the back, Skip that was here from Calvary, he's left a folder per state. Not everybody gets one, but a rep from your state can take a folder from Calvary, and it's got the information he alluded to in his time with us. So you're dismissed. Go directly to your district director meetings. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Well, you can collect money if you can find it. And go to your district director meetings. Done it for 3:45. Back in here at 4:15.